Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with Brian Jeffries, who's the president of the Lansing City Council. Mr. Jeffries, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Well, I think this is only the second time we've had you on in more than 2.5 years, and we appreciate having you on.
Well, thanks for having me, and we'll try to do better.
Well, that's a pretty cool way to start the interview. Thank you so much. We're going to try and do better, too. Well, let's talk about the police and the millage. From your perspective, it was quite clear that that money was to go to boots on the ground when you and other folks were out there hitting the pavement and talking to voters. That's the word that you got out. Now, when Lansing Mayor Virge Bonaro said, well, we need some other stuff, whether it's infrastructure, equipment, or whatnot, that should be covered too. I never said it exactly was going to be used for boots on the ground. There's a little bit of conflict there. Tell us what you think.
Well, you know, I think your assessment is accurate. You know, we went out twice for that public safety millage. The first time it failed, and it was clear to us, the message that we were getting back from the public was that there wasn't a lot of trust, either with council or with the administration, in terms of putting up the millage language and having it somewhat vague. They wanted it very specific in terms of what it was going to be used for. And so we put out a second millage and even tailored that a little bit more during the millage process itself to become as specific as we possibly could. Again, listening to the public and their concerns, their primary concern, their overwhelming concern then as it is now, is to do what we can do to keep the police on the ground, or to get the boots on the ground, the police out on the street. I think it's interesting if you note and you look at the amount of millage money that's generated through this new millage, it equates to approximately 36 police officers, and that's the number of officers that we had to lay off last year. So, the message is real clear to me. I am not adverse in terms of using some of that money to equip the officers so they can go out and do their job, but I draw the line when we start talking about a building, and this is being initially rolled out as just a very small amount of money, but when you look at the total building costs of upwards of $43 million over a 20 or 30-year period of time, that's incredibly substantial, and it adds to our structural deficit, and I just don't think we're at a time and place financially where we can afford to do that, and I think it certainly flies in the face of what the expectations were with voters who supported that millage.
Voters approved the 1.5 mil property tax increase in November of 2011. It generated $2,865,200. Now, Mayor Virge Bonaro says that the city council has been getting on him for a long time about consolidating the police, putting them under one roof, under a roof that the city owns. He says he's doing that, and the city council's getting them all over that for wanting to equip the building and the police in order to do that.
Well, that's about half the story, and I appreciate the mayor listening to council, but what we have also said in terms of bringing the police together, we do want a centralized police department. We do have a centralized police station that is part of City Hall downtown. And in fact, if you go back historically in the mid-90s, before we split into the various precincts, that's where all of our police operations were located. In fact, at that time, we had about 100 more police officers at that station than we do now, totally. So we have a facility downtown that's adjacent to our City Hall that could house all of our operations as they exist today without the need to go out there and build a new building. Now, I'm not adverse to doing that. I think that's, you know, I have supported studies in the past that would go out and look at new facilities for police, for the courts. But I think, again, at this point in time, our finances just simply says that, to say that we can't do it. But I'm open to it. But right now, I think our choice should be to relocate everybody downtown. And plan for the future for a new building sometime when we can afford it.
All right. And do you think the mayor wants a new building right away, or would he be content with moving everyone down into a city-owned building?
Well, I think either way, it's going to be a renovated building. The city hall structure exists and would have to be renovated somewhat to accommodate the officers coming in. The SWAT building that we're talking about would have to be renovated to a great extent to accommodate not only the police, but a new city jail as well as the courts. So in any instance, you're looking at a renovated building. I think the real question becomes, if we pull the police and we pull the courts out of the city hall building, you have a city hall that is substantially vacant in terms of space that we have. What are we going to backfill that space with? And then it really starts to beg the question, are we getting ourselves in a position where we want to sell City Hall and actually build a new City Hall at some point? And if that's where this is going, if it's all about planned obsolescence, which this is a procedure that the mayor uses on a lot of our assets, then I think we should sit down and really start having that discussion. Overall, how does this impact the entire city? And really, what is the vision here? What's the end game?
Now, there's an interesting concept, which may be needed. I've been in that City Hall building, and it's old and it's antiquated. And I know the location is nice, but having been in that parking garage, I can only imagine the infrastructure with that facility. But to have a brand new building to house everything, and I would have to think that that property where City Hall is pretty valuable.
Well, it is prime property, and you know, let's be clear, I'm not proposing that that's what we do. I'm just suggesting that if you work this out in the stages, you know, you got to ask yourself, where is this going and what is the total investment going to be and what are we going to use these assets for once they're vacated? And if that's the mayor's vision, then let's talk about it now. We certainly are not putting the amount of resources that are necessary into maintaining the structure of the city hall that we have now. That's leading me to conclude that maybe that's part of the reason we're going down that road. So, you know, I think we should have a more open and frank discussion about that. Something that it's not on my radar. It's not an issue, an agenda item for me. But if it seems to be that's where we're going.
Brian, so bottom line, and we're talking with Brian Jeffries, who's the president of the Lansing City Council on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WIS, 717 and 50 degrees this Monday morning. If I understand you correctly, when it comes to the millage money, from your perspective, that money goes to boots on the ground and personnel and stays there.
That's my position, yes.
Who's going to win?
Well, we have our vote on our budget is coming up. We're trying to shoot for next Monday, a week from today, to get it done. But I think we've had a couple of hiccups here where we're going to have to extend some of our meetings. So we're looking at May 21st is the vote on the budget. At that time, we need 5 votes to get that passed. And then depending on what the mayor does in vetoes and things of that sort, we'll need 6 votes to override. So, you know, I will tell you this. I think every single council member that is out in the public is hearing the same thing. And it's about 90-95% of the time people are saying, look, I voted for that millage to get the police out on the streets. That's what I look for when I look for public safety, and everybody's hearing that loud and clear. And I think that's what will drive this council.
Brian, what's your perspective on a casino in downtown Lansing?
Well, I voted to support locating it down there. I did not support the piece of it that dealt with the economic development incentive. There was a 30-year brownfield for around $22 million. I just didn't think it was appropriate that we put public tax dollars into a private enterprise like this that certainly can afford to build something on its own without a tax incentives or incentive. So I voted against that piece of it, but overall voted for the casino.
It looks like it's progressing rather nicely, although there is a lot of opposition.
Well, I think at this point, now that the tribe has spoken, I think you're going to see everything kind of shift to Washington to work through what has to go on there. And then once that gets done, it will come back here. And I think it's at that point, after the approvals have been obtained from the federal government, that you'll probably see the lawsuit start up. You know, again, anybody's predicting anywhere from, say, 2 to 5 years to get this thing up and going if it's going to go at all.
All right, you know, Brian, there are citizens here. There are people who oppose this project who say that the Lansing City Council and the mayor are going to lead our city into mayhem because this is a very negative type of business, and it creates a lot of problems with gamblers and their families. It brings in prostitution and drugs. It puts on unnecessary stress on police and fire. What's your response to that?
Well, we do have some of the monies that we're going to obtain through the gaming to address some of those issues, particularly the public safety issues. A large part of this, too, is going to be setting up a scholarship program for kids that go to school here in the city of Lansing, and the desire there is to get people to move back to the city to take advantage of this program. There are very good, strong, positive aspects to the program. A number of us, during the meetings were very concerned with a number of the issues that you've raised. We've tried to address some of those by setting aside some of the millage monies, again, for the public safety piece of it. But we think overall, particularly with the piece dealing with the scholarship, that on balance, that kind of tipped it in favor of moving forward with the project.
Brian, what happened with the Oliver Towers Davenport University deal? We talked with the president of Davenport several times on the program. He wants to be in downtown Lansing. He didn't see them as much of a competitive factor against Lansing Community Colleges as some did. And he sounded like he was very upset. And as far as he was concerned, they were going to find a new building, whether they built it or they move into one that's already built. But they'll move outside of Lansing. What happened?
Well, from my perspective, and what I think council did was that when that issue came forward, there were a number of us that said, hey, listen, this is a very valuable piece of property that the city owns. The best way to move forward is to go out for a request for proposal, put it out for bid, and see who the highest bidder would be. And, it was interesting. You had two people that came in and showed interest without going through any process. Just imagine what it may be if you open it up to all the developers, what may happen. The one thing that concerned me about the Davenport piece was basically we're doing exchange of property. And I think what the city needs is not to maintain property in the sense that we're just exchanging it for another building that we would have to maintain and not even sure how we were going to use it. But what we need was to sell the property for some cash. And we have, a $5 million deficit that we're looking at. That value of that property combined down there was about $1.2 million. We had a bona fide offer, actually, for I think it was $1.25 million. That could have gone a long way to help offset some of our budget woes that we have. And, again, I would still encourage the mayor, have encouraged the mayor, I don't know why he's not doing it, but to put that property up for a request for proposal, get it out there, bid it out, and see what comes in. It's still interesting. LCC still has a bona fide purchase offer sitting on the table for that property. But again, I would like to see it go out for bid and see what we can do with it.
All right, final question for you. What's your relationship with the mayor? What do you think about him? What's it like to work with him?
It's challenging. I've known Verge for over 20-some years. We first worked together on the County Board of Commissioners back in the day and have known him ever since. During that time in different positions that we both held, had an opportunity to work with him. It gets to be challenging from time to time. And, I think what we have to do is come to an understanding that we're both working for the same thing, and that's the citizens of the city of Lansing, and we have to do what we can do best to move that city forward regardless of all of the other noise that's going on in the background.
All right, I've got about a minute left. What's the main items on the agenda for tonight's meeting?
It's the budget review. We're trying to finish up every Monday now for the last month and a half. We've dedicated a lot of our time to reviewing different aspects and departments of the city with regards to the budget. Tonight we're going to be talking about parks and public services. We're looking at the economic, or Lansing Economic Development Corporation, and some of the things that they're proposing. So we have quite a busy night tonight.
All right, Brian, we asked for about 6 minutes. You gave us 15. Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. I very much enjoyed it.
Brian Jeffries is the president of the Lansing City Council. It's